arms that hold you anytime you want them. But that don't mean that we can't live here in the moment. Cause I can be the one you love from time to time. When I first saw you from across the room, I could tell that you were curious. Oh yeah. Girl, I hope you're sure what you're looking for. Cause I'm not good at making promises. But if you like causing trouble up in hotel rooms, if you like having secret little rendezvous, if you like to do the things you know that we shouldn't do, then baby I'm perfect. Baby I'm perfect for you. And if you like.
So what do you think?
Fuck. It's actually the first time I've heard that. Amazingly. 309 million people have seen it before me. Fuck.
Unbelievable, isn't it? And that's what's popular.
All they're talking about is going midnight driving with their windows down.
And some vague answers about what you might be... Whatever you like, I like too.
Yeah, I'm the guy for that.
Well, your lyrics seem a little... They appeal to sort of nice girls, so maybe you could just do something that includes everyone. I could just say whatever you like, I like as well. that appeals to everyone. So, yeah, thank you. How can girls like that?
Sure, I think it's just pre-sort of late teen girls.
Pre-late teen girls?
So mid-teens? You know what I mean? I mean, 13.
If I had to guess, I'd be hoping that it would be like... Pre-teen girls, like early teens at the very...
But then it gets weird because these dudes are like 25.
Yeah, that's true. But it's always been like that with...
boy bands.
They've always... I didn't really think of that before.
You'd think we would have outgrown them.
Yeah.
Sort of out-thought them, you know what I mean?
But you always come back to it. It's... Although I did come full circle with the Backstreet Boys when they appeared on...
This is the end.
Because that was hilarious.
At that point, it's just nostalgia. You never actually...
Yeah, I'm not actually enjoying it, no.
Yeah.
No.
You're like, fuck yes, this is the biggest band in the world.
All right, so this is Unpleasant, episode 11 or 12, something like that.
Something in that ballpark.
Our second episode of 2017. We have a few little things to get to. I just had to show Adam that song.
How did you get onto it?
It's gets played. I hear it at work. I hear it at both jobs.
Yeah.
It's not... It's just one of those things that I didn't... Yeah, I know. It's so manufactured.
Yeah.
Because it does. It works. It has those... It's a... Like those little vocal hooks. But you listen to it and, oh my God, this is actually kind of disturbing.
It's weird, definitely. I can't believe that has 309 million views.
I'll be honest, that's 309 million people.
Yeah.
And we might get maybe 40 who watch one of our videos.
Yeah.
And there will be no crossover in those numbers. And that's how I like it. That's good.
Well, it's good that you've accepted that because that is...
But how great are the odds, like 309 million people and not one of them will be any of the ones that just happen to enjoy what we do as well?
As long as the audience is there. I was hoping we could get Chelsea Manning on the podcast.
Do you know what the go is there?
Yeah, Barack Obama has pardoned her.
Hmm.
It should be released in March or May.
Because I don't know much about the story. I just know some people are like, oh, this has been a long time coming. But Obama is just making up for the highest incarceration rate of whistleblowers. As like out of any president. I was like,
well,
I don't know.
A bit of both. So do you know what she did?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. So Chelsea was Bradley Manning. Who was
that? Does complicate things.
That was the most.
Does that have anything to? Maybe not. But you know how the one photo that they're using is this like selfie, angled from below, grey,
that
black and white.
That she sent her her higher up in charge officer that photo in an email saying that she suffered from gender identity disorder and had her whole life. She joined the military on purpose to try and suppress it. Like, she just said she spent her whole life just wanting to not feel this, and then it just got worse and worse, which obviously complicated her mental state, which she admits and the army knew at the time. But there was just, it's just one of those stories where throughout it, when you look back, there were six or seven times where someone should have said, right, this person now should not have access to top secret intelligence, because she had a clearance, and her superiors didn't want her to go to Iraq, but because they didn't have enough intelligence.
Is it because they were scared jihadis would find out and murder her?
Possibly. Mm. Possibly. But she was bullied as well, obviously, but she always like fought back, but she was obviously had many issues. And she eventually...
Sorry, leaked. I just want to interrupt and point out we are 100% pro-bullying on this show. Anyway, yeah. Continue.
She was... fuck, you've thrown me.
So, yeah, she was... She joined...
She leaked. She... long story shortish, she had all these troubles and she ended up leaking reports and videos from the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war to WikiLeaks. Because she sort of got into the online community a little bit. She'd had dealings with WikiLeaks, and she'd talked to Julian directly, and she said Julian made her feel like she could be herself and talk freely. And so she ended up sort of enjoying that relationship. And when she finally decided to go, I've got to leak this, she gave it to WikiLeaks. And one of the videos was called Collateral Murder, I think. And it was where there was some insurgents suspected, and America hit it with an airstrike, and it killed journalists, a cameraman, civilians. And but they were well aware, like they were aware of the collateral and just did it anyway. So, and then the argument was, well, she's a whistleblower and she exposed information that, you know, the public should know about.
Yeah.
The more of that stuff that is not happening, you know, the better things are moving forward. But and most liberals, like John McCain, for example, and anybody in the defence is just like, well, you put soldiers' lives at risk who were deployed in the Middle East. No one died or got hurt, but, you know, that remains. So that's the debate.
I do... I think I vaguely remember this was well before I started to take any notice of the news. I remember talking about, maybe I haven't done it on the show, but I remember talking about WikiLeaks in particular, well, definitely before the show, because this is pre all the Trump thing and all that.
Yep.
And I was always on the fence with the WikiLeaks thing, because I go, well, it sucks because it incentivizes digging and what they call whistleblowing.
Yeah.
It kind of incentivizes it, but I'm also on the same boat of you can't just trust the government or trust anyone just because.
Yeah, you can't just accept that, yeah, well, this is the system we got. So.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm on board with that. But then again, I don't know whether, so they said no deaths were related to what the information that was leaked by her.
And she certainly didn't want that.
Mm.
And she wanted to get caught. She gave it, essentially left a trail.
Yeah, so that
she
would be.
She said they didn't care if they executed her.
Yeah,
she tried to kill herself twice in jail. But the thing is, it wasn't a case that she just sort of was suddenly trans. Like, there's documents and evidence throughout her whole life.
Mm.
And then, but yeah, there's plenty of examples of incompetence in the army where they could have jumped on it. Like, she had a top secret clearance basically because their hands were a little bit tied sometimes. But it's nothing that they couldn't have, you know, she was obviously a threat.
Mm.
And they were right. There were reports saying that she shouldn't have gone to Iraq. She shouldn't have had that clearance. She got into a fight with a superior, flipped a table, damaged a computer. But she was always talking to the counsellor, always talking to the medics and always open about her issues. And
that's interesting. Like, Oh, it's funny. I was talking to a teacher yesterday who got flagged for, I think it was depression or something along those lines. A teacher who got flagged for that, and you know, just take a break, they paid leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Go do all this.
So teachers love a bit of stress leave. They fucking it up.
Yeah, it's pretty tough putting on Futurama and it's that other shit that they made us. Mythbusters. A few episodes of that.
Lots of Mythbusters. Fucking hell.
It takes so long to do a student plan for a course I've been teaching for 15 years.
Lots of modern adaptations of Pride and Prejudice.
Oh. yeah, sorry. So she got... Damn. I meant to keep this as vague as possible.
Just on that, remember we used to do a character of one of our English teachers when we watched Billy Elliot. You could just say fucking anything. And they'd just be like, the blue drawer symbolised... You know, all the forks being the freedom.
Yeah, I remember
empty
this.
Drawers being white was like the bareness in their lives. And she's just like, yes.
Fuck off. And that's how we know when all these student papers and all these studies, well, not studies, these published essays,
yeah.
PhD papers about, remember there was one on... just, you enforce gender roles on your children by taking them to the zoo and showing them animals. And you're like, you're just doing the same shit that we were doing in high school
when they
were
12,
like, find some shit out of this and convince me of it.
Yeah.
And it's like they missed the point where it's like it wasn't about being able to convince someone of it.
Yeah.
No, that's what it was about, not that the actual thing was real and existed.
Yeah.
So all these arguments of... there's underlying sexism in the use of the term, what you know.
Yeah,
they've gone too far, and they haven't realised that no. The point was being able to find things there, but you don't have to. It's not really there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you could bullshit your way through assignments and essays and get marks.
Yeah, you're playing.
I never read My Place. And I fucking killed the exam because you just have to look at the way the questions are phrased.
Yeah.
And you know exactly.
You know what they want to hear as well.
Exactly. And they're teaching you to just overanalyze fucking maybe just wank.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Billy Elliot's a fair film.
Yeah.
Is that really still
well made, but...
Take a film school. Take a film class.
Oh,
I mean, in mainstream English... Teach me about literature.
And why...
And why I'd want to read.
Why teach things that were happy accidents?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the best films...
Yeah.
Like The Godfather and even Kubrick.
The Shining.
Yeah. Even the most careful filmmaker of all time...
Yeah.
Just embraced happy accidents when they happen. It was like, oh, well, you don't plan for every tiny little thing and sort of see what happens and get the best out of that. So you can't tell me to look at that and be like, I'm drawing all of this meaning out, because I go, no, I'm just doing it in my own head too. So I guess if you're pairing it with a bit of self-analysis, you can sort of, I guess it's a tool that's handy, because then you can go, all right, well, why do I think that this film is about, you know, gender stereotypes. Why do I think that? If you pair it with that, maybe, but I don't know. What the fuck?
Anyway.
Yeah, we got off topic.
We were talking about Chelsea Manning.
Yeah. And, yeah, sorry. So I know a teacher who got flagged and sent on, and that's a teacher.
Yeah.
They're not in.
They would have called in. They just got a register of casual teachers. Can you work here today? Yep. I can. Thanks, that'll be $300.
And now, they're ordinary. There's over there, they just went, we don't want to Well, you'd have, if you got rid of somebody's status, their classification status, you'd have to kick them out straight away.
Mm.
Because of the potential for leaks. Like,
yeah,
it's like when they say, you know, you've got 2 hours, like when they fire somebody from a big bank or whatever, you're gone immediately because they don't want you fucking with anything.
Yeah.
So I kind of get why they would be so hesitant to do that as well. Especially, well, I guess.
What do you think potential backlash if it all came out and then came out that she was transgender?
If they declassified
the potential,
if they fired her, and that's true as well. I was thinking along the lines, maybe they just have had compassion and were just like, if we do this, this might actually kill her.
I don't think at any point Chelsea wanted to wrong the army or the nation, but she didn't believe in the war
and what they what the and what things that had been done. Yeah,
and obviously the frustration with everything led to something that was I'm mostly for. She didn't purposely leak sensitive information that put people at risk for the sake of it, or to like she just you know she had to get it all onto one thing, get it onto a CD that she wrote Lady Gaga on, got it out of the building, put it on an SD card for a camera and took it on holiday to America with her. Ended up uploading it to a tour, T-O-R.
I
don't know anything.
I don't know much about it either. I just know that that's the way into the dark web, whatever it is. It's like a separate internet.
Yeah. And it's, fuck that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
It's not for me. But, Julian got it. There's conversations that is thought to be between them, but can't be proved because Julian's not identified. So, obviously, but he said if Obama pardoned her, then he'd give himself up for extradition to the United States. But I don't know if he'll follow through with it because he doesn't have to, but he said he would.
Oh, boy.
That was an official WikiLeaks tweet. They tweeted he'll give himself up despite like the ridiculousness of the DOJ case, Department of Justice case. But they'd have to prove that it was espionage. And from what I can gather, they can't prove it. So they could try him. He's also wanted in Sweden for sexual assault crimes. But this is...
Didn't know about that.
This is... He'd already been, like, it had already gone to the police and been dropped. And then a special prosecutor brought it up while he was over in the UK at the embassy. So he said, I'm happy to answer any questions in Britain, but I think it's a ploy to get me extradited to US and put in jail immediately. With this like faux sexual assault case that's just been brought back up suddenly. So that's why he's not moving. But now he said he will.
There's a chance that he could have because if you were going to sexually assault abroad, Sweden's the place to do it. They have the
two
hottest...
Two broads. He was with two women.
I meant abroad as in travelling around. I didn't realise the pun. Two broads. I wonder if that's what they call him, Julian Two Broads.
Do you know he's Australian too?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. He's got a weird little white head too. Yeah.
Have you ever seen... Oh, I never watched it either. Benedict... What's that guy's name? Sherlock Holmes? Yeah, that's it. Benedict Cumberbatch playing him.
No.
I only watched the trailer and it was weird.
Yeah.
Very weird with that no colour hair. And
apparently there's a pretty good documentary about it as well. I'm all for WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I don't have a stance enough just because I'm kind of like, oh, it exists and I can see why, but I can't say that I'm either. Because I guess for me it always comes back to the media and the media's spin on it. Because when you see all these things, it makes you not like the military. And then I listen to a few military guys. The Jocko Willink podcast is spectacular. And weird applying that adjective to an audio thing. Spectacular. It's something purely visual.
It enlightens all the senses.
That's how good it is. No, his podcast is really good because it opens your eyes in. Because I've read plenty about the Second World War, Vietnam, Gulf War, but the really modern era stuff, you know, you can hear it directly. And the vibe I get from listening to him and guys like Terry Shepard, they don't like the guys who are in charge either. Because the guys who are in charge are lawyers. And it's not so much because they don't want to kill anyone either.
Yeah.
Unless they really have to. And it's not so, it's very much not about saving lives and getting in and doing that. It's what they can get away with.
Yeah, okay.
So legally, so I'm speculating. So say that example you told me before about dropping that bomb in wherever it was.
I think it was
a journalist got killed.
Yeah, cameraman.
So there was innocents killed there. I think what would have went down was, all right, so they've got this target here, but we're worried we'll get, you know, civilian casualty. They knew they were fine because they had authorization for airstrikes and things like that. So it's like, all right, we'll go do it.
Yeah.
And it's partly comes back to the no boots on the ground thing as well, of they don't want people there. Well, just less people die that way.
That's why, you know, I think, and I would love for somebody who has a much better understanding to talk to me about it. But, you know, based on the information I have, that's why I'd support troops on the ground before airstrikes. Unless you're 100% certain. It's like the whole purpose of, remember before we had airstrikes, and the whole idea of, like, you know, the heat-seeking missile was that you could fire it and it would just home in on the target and that's it. And that still doesn't exist. So, you know, you're going to kill civilians. You're going to kill journalists. You're going to kill, you know, politicians.
You're going to kill everyone. It's that's the thing. It's bureaucracy.
Yeah.
They're in this war, and they don't have, well, like I say, that it takes a culture to win a war. And the culture isn't behind it, but they're involved because of strings getting pulled behind the scenes, you know, showing that they need to show some strength to defend an ally or whatever.
Yep.
And so they end up over there and they said, all right, here's what you are allowed to do and get away with, and that's it. Because they need to show an action, but they don't actually plan on following through, because then otherwise you would listen to the guys on the ground.
Yeah. Obviously, anyway. I think more so than sending in more troops, like more so than replacing airstrikes with ground troops, is just supporting the nations of Syria and Turkey in however best they can.
Well, that's what drives me crazy about the sort of anti-military thing that goes around. It's these are the first generation of soldiers who have gone over there and worked with the local population to this extent, like officially too. It's not like when they're in Vietnam and occasionally they'd find a friendly village and they'd work together. Like it was a thing that they'd help out. That now it's official procedure. They're helping, they're fighting alongside, they're training guys up, they're training local military. They're showing them how to do everything. They're fighting alongside them. And these guys are getting called, like, racist.
Yeah, like exactly.
It's just...
trying to empower the nation as best they can, which
and
is...
And right or wrong, that's what the intent was.
And they risk being blown up by the people that they're training. And that happens a lot.
Yeah. It's...
What's the alternative?
Yeah, it's a mess. The whole Middle East thing is, for a while there, I was against it until, I don't know, I was 23 or something like that. Yeah. And then I sort of turned around and I went, just from the humanitarian perspective of, there's a brutal dictatorship in place.
There's a rebel government.
Yeah. So you want to, you know, the people over there who want democracy and the people who want freedom deserve that.
Yeah.
And so, but
because it's the best,
yeah, yes,
because the
being,
best way
being
to live.
Free,
yeah.
And so, when they go in to help and things go wrong, you can't force it. So, I'm also on the my mind's in two places where I'm going, I agree with it and I don't agree with it. I understand the want to be involved, but I also get like listening to Jesse Ventura talk about it, which is
exactly
very strange because I'm not a big fan of Jesse.
No.
Jesse the body.
The body. Now he's Jesse the mind Ventura.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm off the grid.
Thank fuck.
Did you know that he was considering running with Trump?
Really? He wouldn't have lasted.
Being his running mate.
Would imagine, have been entertaining. Imagine if he got in.
Both of them had been in the WWE.
Yeah.
Imagine the inauguration ceremony.
Well,
Booker T would probably commentate it.
I'm thinking Hulk 2028. Hulk Hogan. He'll be paid off his wife.
Oh, no. I just wanted to make the most hack joke ever, but I'm going to do it anyway. Four score and 20 years ago, brother. For tour. I fucked it up.
You idiot. But funnily enough, Linda McMahon and he is his advisor for small businesses.
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As in Vince's wife.
Well, that's the funny thing. You see these businesses and you kind of roll your eyes at some things, and then you think, I do anyway. And I have to think about it for a second and I go, yeah, the name's silly, but really they must know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like the WWE, you go, oh, yeah, you roll your eyes at that. But that is a very complex organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Run by many professionals with people so much smarter than me.
Many ties to the industry, just always relevant.
Yeah, and like, especially when you're getting into the sort of, like, say, the financial part and just... In as far as planning goes,
yeah.
Those aren't logistics. Skills. Yeah, they're logistics. Those aren't skills that are just applied to that one industry. Those are the top people across the board.
They're in a different arena every night. They just travel America and the world, arena to arena, setting up their full stage and ring and everything.
And just that's
all day,
insane.
Every day. No off-season.
Like, that's hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Imagine the people who just there's people whose full time job is to just organise the train,
the
train and the bus and everything. I just get
that's admin, and then there's all the trainers and the doctors in the wellness program, the board,
and then you've got Mick Foley crashing on people's couches like fans,
Steve Austin, that's why I love the movie The Wrestler. You ever watched it yet?
Yes, I have, yeah.
People tell me it's shit, but I love it. It's just a great movie. I wonder if Trump...
You are its audience, though, aren't you?
Yeah, fucking oath.
Yeah, I get the criticism of it, just as far as it's kind of... You see where the story's going, you know there's going to be a tough moment, but I feel like the acting was good, the ending was good, and...
I also think I find a lot in nostalgia. So I always like give it the time of day, because I was interested in it once, like fucking intensely, and because I do know a lot about it. Fuck it. There's still things I admire about the business, you know. Yeah, imagine if Trump ran with Ventura and then was just seeing how far he could get away with it. Like one time he came up with APA for security and shit. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, as if you don't want to see Mark Henry come up on stage with him. Oh, God.
The cabinet. That used to exist. Remember JBL?
Yeah.
John Bradshaw Layfield, when he was like that fucking American tycoon character. He had a stable, or like a group of followers, called The Cabinet. And that was like the Basham Brothers or something and Orlando Jordan. And then they all started wearing suits and shit. It was great. My favourite storyline ever.
Now, if you got a Taiwanese person to like have a child with a black person, would they be a tycoon?
Did you just think of
that?
Yeah,
I did.
Well,
sorry.
Done.
Yeah, not good.
Not too bad.
See, sometimes...
Glad you said
sometimes my racism just doesn't even feel worth it to me.
Yeah. What's the point? What do you get out of that?
yeah.
Nothing fun.
Like I'm okay. I don't have no problem saying those words. I'd never, like, there's a difference between using the word and saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to use it. But the fact I know nobody else would say it makes me do it. And I'm just like, I just got to get it out of the way.
And I don't listen to people who say, if you're endorsing it, then you are it. because that's bullshit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you endorse that kind of language, then you're a bigot and you're racist. Well, no, that's not true. You don't know anything about me. Like, it's all about content of character. If you can say a tycoon joke,
you don't know me.
Yeah.
You don't know where I've been.
Oh, that's very dry. Speaking of racism, put that video on the Australia Day video.
What do we got?
So this Australia is, you know Day. How they do a lamb ad every year?
Yeah, yeah. The, what's that guy's
Mark
name?
Mark Kekovich?
Yeah, that's
Kekovich,
it.
Or whatever it was.
Sam Kekovich.
Kekovich, that's it. Oh, shit.
Jesus.
That was on tight.
All right. What do we got here? Sorry, celebrate Australia Day with lamb. Australia Day ad. So,
you'll love
this. Do you want to set it up or do we just dive in?
No, well, no, this is just, if you know the lamb ad, this is it. This is this year's lamb ad.
First air.
Hey.
Sam.
What do you reckon?
Reckon spot. Fire up the barbie.
Anyone else coming?
Beautiful spot like this, it'll be packed before you know it. Oh, here we go.
Did you organise the chips and dips?
Yeah.
Great spot.
Oh, thank you.
How long have you guys been here?
Since forever, mate.
Hey, where are you all from?
We, sir, are from Great Britannia. We are the first fleet.
Yeah, not quite, mate.
Bonjour.
And I have a cannon on my ship.
Homage.
It's the Germans.
Whoa. At least they brought their own.
Who's bringing the ice?
How many birds do we need, Dougie?
Keep shipping, Shackles. It's going to be big.
Have they just stolen the Simpsons joke there?
Where'd you get those?
Fiswick.
What's this? The 16th
That's
first
an old
fleet.
Fucking joke.
Right. It's the Italians, the Greeks and Serbians?
Hey mate, do you know where the backyard is?
Got about 4,000 k's of it out here. Need a wicket?
Trust me, you need one of these around 2 a.m. Chili sauce?
You did. Remember to let the neighbours know, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's barbecue, eh, bro?
Hey, where should we put the chili bit?
I couldn't keep them away.
Should we crack a vegan joke?
Nah.
It's not a party without ice. Oh, fiddlestick.
Hey, guys, what's the occasion?
Do we need one?
Look, it's the boat people.
Hang on. Aren't we all boat people?
And you're welcome.
What is love? It's the boat people.
What the hell is Del doing there?
Just waving around a lamb chop. You know he's acting. He's a beaten man.
Oh, wow, dear.
That's fucking... So everyone's angry about that.
Yeah.
Everybody, the right, the left, Muslims are angry about it.
I think that was more boring than anything else.
Oh, yeah, it was just like, fucking
there's some okay,
move on.
There's some okay jokes,
no,
but...
No, there's not. There's not.
Well, I'm going by what can be the lamb ad for the year.
Yeah.
By what the standard would be, I think...
Everyone's going to get the joke.
Yeah, yeah. You've just got to throw in some local things.
They included everyone, didn't
they? But having... what's his name? The cricketer... Do you need a wicket?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. So
everyone's angry by it. I'm just bored.
Yeah. I don't care.
They played it safe. They sort of included everyone. So.
Oh, look, the boat people. That's very clearly. Aren't we all boat people?
Yeah. They didn't show any fucking babies washing up on the shore. Remember that picture?
Yeah, we need a few infant corpses to take this seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, who cares?
Yeah.
None
of the women walked up and said, "My husband drowned on the way here. I watched it." That That they didn't show that.
Yeah, I like it that they were a boat full of like gay men and drag queens.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
They're still poking fun at the Navy for being poofters.
I think I'm coming around because they made fun of it as well. Like they made it a thing of, we should let bring the boat people in, regardless of what your stance is on that. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
But then they made fun of the boat people as well.
Yeah, with the kebabs.
Yeah, yeah. Like they
all just fit in their stereotypes.
So, I don't know. Because
that's kind of how it works, and that's kind of what multiculturalism is what we end up with, isn't it?
If somebody can tell me what multiculturalism is outside of food, I'll give them a hand job.
That's what I mean. And that's what they had. They had cheese, beer, kebabs, fucking lamb chops. It was very food centric, wasn't it?
That's because that's all that happens. They talk about, with all your best restaurants, and you go, aside from these foreign people serving you food, what do you like? You're not really into their culture. You're not going to Chinatown.
Yeah, you look at them.
Yeah.
Or just how many white people or just people you know do you hear just go, oh, yeah, I was at Paddy's Markets and, you know, I was just playing spot the white person.
Yeah.
Because you're just there to buy their cheap shit.
Yeah.
You're not there because you want to be immersed in what it would maybe be like in the streets of Hong Kong. But you can at least we can capture multiculturalism. You just go to any street festival. You go to Nando's, you go to Anatolia Kebabs, you go to Giuseppe's. That's it. That's multiculturalism.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I might be just an ignorant fool.
One of my favourite workers in the locality is a little Greek woman from Marks.
I swear
I try to like tip her every time or just say keep the change. Once she took my food off the counter and wouldn't give it to me until I took the change. She's just like, no. We do business.
She's great. She really
is. She understands.
Yeah, one of my favourites. I was there last night, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was when you're on your Tinder date, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Did you tell her the story about how she thinks your name's David?
Yeah. Yeah. I am David to her. There's no, like, I'm Milk here. Yeah. I'm Ned at one workplace and I am David.
At Marks,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like when you cross borders.
Yes. And,
like I know a girl from Bangladesh whose name is Fatima, but her name is Cynthia.
Yeah.
Like when she goes back there, she'll go back to it, you know, just makes it easier. When I go in there, I transfer over my passport and I'm David.
Yeah, that's fair. It works. Everyone's happy. It's gone on too long to change. And that's that.
All right. So, what else have we got? I saw a image of two girls wearing like in an Australian flag.
Yeah, that was it. So that's what the Muslim community is upset about. Well, maybe not the whole.
That's what they want you to think the Muslim community is upset about.
There is a group of Muslims on Facebook.
Mm.
Have started a petition saying that the Muslims, why they're two happy little Muslim children in that photo.
Yeah, we can't have that.
because imagine if one of them was holding a book or something.
Oh, my God.
But because Muslims don't support a day that delegitimizes, you know, the colonial invasion and all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, okay, if you really were against it, you wouldn't have migrated here. Like, if you're really against living in a nation that does, you know, neglect it, which it does to a degree. I never learnt anything about it in school or after school. But,
if you agree.
You're truly against it, then you don't migrate.
I think Gavin McInnes says it. When you go to Japan, you take your shoes off.
Yeah.
It's just, this is what we do. It's in the past now. Like, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah, exactly.
And also, what do you want to do to Israel?
I wish I was Jewish. Just part Jewish.
Yeah.
Just so I could truly sympathize.
I just wear that yarmulke around just to annoy people.
Yeah. Is that why you wear the Trump hat too?
It's partially.
You took it off in Brisbane, didn't you?
Yeah. There was a negative vibe.
Yeah.
It was the first time I picked up on one. Aside from
it's because you're racist.
Yeah, obviously.
And a bigot.
Yeah, I got called a casual racist on Friday night.
By whom?
By a co-worker.
Hmm.
And
why? What was the comment that led to, you know what?
No. It was something else, and I was dismissed as, oh, well, you're just a racist anyway. But it was I think the discussion we were having had nothing to do with race anyway. But I don't know. I just found it funny.
Does it annoy you?
Well, yeah, because I was like, oh, well, we don't really know each other that well, and I'm. Race has never held me back from making friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fuck. And then, you know what? It is a good excuse.
What?
I've got black friends.
Yeah.
It is a good excuse.
Exactly. Why? If I was racist, that means I wouldn't even associate
with
that. I would want to oppress them. And
because you, in your belief, them. They are less than you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not effective.
Exactly.
And I've talked about this before. Do you remember the end of the Louis Theroux documentary on the skinheads?
Mm.
The Nazi skinhead white supremacist group in the US. And it was run by John Metzger.
Mm-hmm.
And he hangs out with him for a while, and he publishes the biggest skinhead white power magazine in the US, and they go on a holiday to Mexico. And he has a good time down there, and they come back, and then he follows him into his job, and at the end it shows him fixing this Spanish-Mexican guy's TV. Oh, no, we're old friends, yeah. We've been friends for 20 years and almost. Yeah. And he said to him, said to the guy whose TV he was fixing, do you know about what John does and what he does? Oh, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. We don't get into politics. And then he approached John and said, well, what about this? He's like, you'd never get anything done in life if you lived like that. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I like that's where I'm in the boat now thinking the number of real racists is pretty fucking low. The people who read his publication are probably way more racist than he is.
Yeah.
He just thinks he's this figure, but
he's obviously kind of
ignoring.
Issues.
Yeah, he's kind of ignoring the obvious. So yeah, if that's the worst skinhead,
yeah. Strange that he can't see.
Yeah.
The difference.
Yeah.
I know. There's obviously some kind of just wall
that
he's probably never going to get past. Maybe.
Well, it seems like I think it's like an identity thing of, oh, well, this strong faith, and one day things will click into place and we'll all be the most powerful or whatever. And because you're kind of in the rational way of thinking too, of just live your life and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely mental. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about real quick. So we're 43 minutes in, so I'll try and keep it short.
Cool.
Because it's kind of in reference. Lately, I've noticed I'm getting influenced a little bit by a new podcast contender.
I know who it is.
And who's that?
Red Bar Radio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw the issues.
Oh, you've seen it.
Seen a few tweet exchanges anyway.
Yeah. So just for anyone listening, because there's no way anyone knows who Red Bar is, or what Red Bar is, I should say. Yeah. So Mike from Red Bar does a radio show from redbarradio.com, and it's a subscription service, but it's kind of free to listen to. It's
pay for bonus content.
Yeah. And recently he got submitted to Compound Media, so Anthony Cumia's thing.
Yep.
And he was added on there and just immediately started shitting on people. And that's what he does. His whole thing is make fun of people. And he makes fun of everyone. There's no real malice in it. He just sort of goes after them, points out some things. He pointed out a lisp. He started doing a lisp for Gavin McInnes.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, what the fuck? This doesn't even make sense. And then I'm falling asleep listening to it, and I heard a lisp in one word, and I don't know whether I heard it or whether he has just made me think I heard it. Either way, he's effective.
Yeah.
And so it takes a while to get into, but I think this is good. This is a funny guy who doesn't like bullshit but appreciates bullshit at the same time. Like, he loves Kanye.
Yeah.
He often talks about his dress sense and how he's going to hate the stupid shit he's wearing at the moment and how it just changes over time. That's just part of the thing. He accepts that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was making fun of someone, and the guys behind the scenes at Compound Media didn't like it. They didn't like it a few times, and they think it's going to influence the business. They think it's going to influence how they get guests on. Yeah. And so they're like, oh, I should try and cut it out. And he's just like, ah, fuck it. Now, I've got a theory that he did this on purpose, because when he signed up to do the Compound Media thing, he didn't accept a payment.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't want to get paid. He just wanted to, because his whole thing is, all right, you pay for the service just to support it, but the real money comes from merch. He's like, we don't do ads. He refuses to do ads. So let's just do merchandise. And that's
how you refuse to read them on Compound Media?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He actually guest hosted Gavin's show once and refused to do a live read.
Yeah.
Just then they ended up getting very angry at him for it.
Really?
I listened to him on the Real Ass podcast by Luis J. Gomez, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake. And
he's a real ass dude. He's
a real ass dude. That's why his website is realassdude.com. So he interviewed him, and it's like one of the only times I've heard him not really doing like a character, because he plays up who he is. And he talks about how he started doing stand up, and then he got started going, this is kind of gross. And I'm thinking the same thing right now. You're still just an actor, essentially. Yeah. You're not a performer.
There's charisma. I mean, you can get to that point where you're a personality, like Louis C.K. and stuff. Yeah. But if you're just on the local circuit growing up, it's an act. It's weird. Yeah, it's awkward.
Definitely.
It's not natural.
So I just rarely go, is it natural? And like, well, that's it. Even Louis is doing the same thing every night. Like, it's still kind of...
Yeah.
And so, I'm thinking the same thing. And he just goes, that's why he just doesn't like any of that stuff. So he's done the polar opposite of it. And I'm like, that's interesting, because he's done the exact opposite. So anyway, I just wanted to bring it up because I've now signed up for him because he's left Compound Media.
Yep.
And I know there's going to be an influence on me. And I just want to say that I'm hoping that I can suppress it as much as I can. But I think it's a good time for us to bring up for anyone who is listening that we are young men. Mm. We are 25 years of age.
Yeah.
And we are finding our voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be lifting from people and influences like that. And it sucks because it's embarrassing. But we're in our 20s, and this is kind of what we got to do. We got to suck for a long time and hope that it works out.
Maybe literally suck at some point.
Oh, God, I don't want to do a Burt Reynolds.
Is that what he did? Fucking God bless him. I'd have sucked a dick to being in Smoking the Bandit 1 and 2.
We'll see what happens, but apparently I stole this information from Compound Media.
I've heard this.
Yeah, so apparently when he dies, a second book is getting released, because he released his autobiography like a year ago.
Yeah.
And the second book is going to talk about all of the executives that he had to let bang him. To become a movie star.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with
that. Why, though, when you can have presumably anyone?
Well, it was like the 60s, hazy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, Smoking the Bandit would have been like 80s, I think.
Oh, okay. So,
but he was in movies before Smoking the Bandit.
Deliverance was 73 Deliverance or something? Was,
I think, early 70s.
Yeah. So he'd been building for a while.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Weird. Very weird.
All right, I think that's it. I came up with a new term, which I'll throw this out real quick. It's a combination of two events. One was noticing somebody on the checkouts at a grocery store just not giving anything to anyone. Just total blank stare. Like if the face just made a sound, it would be...
yeah.
That would be it.
Yeah.
See, even that's like too much like that's a labored breathing. Yeah. That's too much exertion even for them.
This is just natural echoes.
And I'm thinking that's what YouTube comments are. That's what Facebook comments, that's what all these online arguments are.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know, so is blank-faced outrage.
Mm.
Because you're not feeling anything because you're not interacting with another human. You're just on the thing. And when they're typing with such thing, there's nothing happening with their face. There's no expression. Yeah. And that's an important thing. That's very physical. Like they say, to make yourself happy, you just smile more.
Yeah.
It's because...
body language.
The mind is a very strange thing and we can be tricked and we can adapt really quick. We do some strange stuff.
Mm.
So you need to have that to experience some emotions, and these people have no emotions. So yeah, anyway, that's my term is blank-faced outrage.
Blank-faced outrage. We're against that here, aren't we? Adam
and Mill. No blank-faced outrage. Pro-bullying. No making fun of Hugh Jackman.
I was going to bring that one up because that's an important one.
Yeah. So why can't we make fun of Hugh Jackman?
Because he's the perfect male. Basically, perfect human, I'd say. Well, he's up there.
Yeah.
He's Adam, isn't he? Not me, as in Adam and Eve Adam.
Oh, yeah, he's
first man on earth, perfect. He's going to be in Logan, which is going to be great.
Yeah, 6'2".
Especially ripped. This talk he's going to be on the podcast leading up to Logan.
We'll see if we can arrange that, actually.
A bearded... dark featured Hugh Jackman.
We'll see what happens. So, maybe.
You know, that's coming up soon, so.
Well, yeah, we'll have to. Can't wait. Anyway, we'll get our interns to organise talking to his people.
Yeah.
He's a tall dude, good looking, he can sing.
He's a triple threat. He can sing, he can dance, he can act.
He's
married an older, beautiful older woman.
Yeah, when he could just be.
Do anything
just
he wants
be the
forever.
Worst hound.
Yeah, ever. He could just be a sexual. He probably is.
Yeah,
but I mean, he could just do it with anyone he wants.
Yeah,
but he settled down with a woman he loved.
Yeah.
He's always just delightful on talk shows, and I hate talk shows. But if Hugh's on there, you know everything's all right in there.
I think the worst thing is when I see him in relation to like people I'm familiar with, like on movies. You can. There's the ugly person in the movie, but they're still really a beautiful person when you put them in the lineup with regular people on the street.
Yeah.
So when I see him on, like, he was on Opie and Jim, and he's next to them.
Yeah.
Oh my god. He might as well be a different species of thing, because
just the detail in his body.
You just go. That's how can
Jim Norton just look like a lump of Play-Doh next to Hugh Jackman?
He looks like. Like Marshmallow Man, but without the like edges.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right, that'll do us. All right. Thanks for listening. We are Adam and Milk. This is Unpleasant. And we'll probably see you again in a week.
Yeah.
We find out more Facebook/ Adam and Milk.
Adam and Milk on all the things.
All the Instagram, probably.
Twitter.
There's a Twitter.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got our
At Milky Fest on Twitter.
Real Papa Jake. A Jake. Try him out.
I meant to have this ready to go, but I messed up. All right. Thanks for listening, cunts. And it's not playing through the thing anyway.
That's a perfect start, though. Very good. Some nice.